98.1 KZE. This is the Up and Running Morning Show. That's I'm Leaving by Ryan Lee Crosby. And on the telephone with us right now is Ryan Lee Crosby. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Rick. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you here in Radio Land. I had a great opportunity of emceeing the Meadowlark Festival last September. And you were one of the performers. And I have to say, before we even say anything else, I truly enjoyed your style, your playing. Your guitar playing is, well, hypnotic, bluesy, and fun. Your voice definitely ranges. You get a little deep down and you get high notes. It's a real pleasure to see you, and I got to see you with just a percussion player who played a very interesting instrument. And, well, you've been doing your thing. You put out an album in 2022, which I love, called Winter Hill Blues. And, well, good morning, and what have you been up to, Ryan?
Yeah, good morning, and thanks for the kind words, Rick. I had such a nice time seeing you at the Meadowlark and hanging out backstage together, and I'm excited to be getting on the road again for a few days. Coming back to the Hudson Valley on Saturday at the Town Crier, and that's my first time playing there. And I know it's a much loved venue. That actually has unfolded through playing at the Meadowlark Festival, and I'm just really looking forward to being back in the Hudson Valley.
Well, how did you get ensconced in the blues and, well, rhythmic, hypnotic sounds?
Well, I first heard John Lee Hooker when I was a kid, and, that really spoke to me right away, and I think all throughout the arc of my musical life, I've noticed no matter what genre of music I'm fascinated by or playing, it always tends to be music that is of a hypnotic quality, whether that's deep blues from Mississippi or Indian classical music or West African music or ambient music or, dub, reggae. I mean, I think I like a lot of different kinds of music, and they all influence me, but I think they all have that hypnotic quality.
It's definitely true.
I like. Yeah. And I think, I'm drawn to that just because I find it soothing to the mind and to the heart. And so that's part of what I want to experience in music, and hopefully something I can offer to other people too.
Well, well said. Now, like, musicians like R.L. Burnside, I can listen to one song of his just played over and over and over for however long he would like to play it. If it's 14 minutes of a repetitive, simple groove, I still love it. And I learned a lot from listening to the blues and listening to Mississippi blues, is that you don't have to have short attention. And, oh, let's put in another bridge here, and let's change the song into another key at this point. You don't have to do that to really get to the heart and mind of the listener. And that I experience from musicians like R.L. Burnside and, that hypnotic blues I just love. So it's great to hear that there's others out there who do as well.
That's cool to hear you say, and something that occurs to me as I listen, the original intention, or maybe one original intention or kind of function of that music, that very particular kind of juke joint Mississippi blues. Mm. You know, I remember, I think Robert Belfour said something once about, you know, you could play the same song for 3 hours, you know, at his gigs or his early gigs, because he would be playing, you know, like at a fish fry or a party or a, you know, a juke house party. Mm. And so people would be drinking, dancing, maybe, you know, playing cards. You know, the musician could literally play one song all night. And I think a lot of times, that's what they would do. And so that, you know, that comes through the music. That's part of the social function of the music, that it was there to establish a groove or a feeling, yeah, and just keep that feeling going all night.
Which is kind of interesting, almost like a band playing at a square dance. They play the same groove to dance to, and it could be an hour long, really, before you notice that, wow, this is the same song.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of amazing. And all, you know, made to inspire your legs, booty, and arms and body to move, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So now, can you explain the instrument or percussion instrument that you were playing with when I saw you in September?
Oh, yeah. Grant Smith had a calabash, which is a West African percussion instrument. It's really, as far as I know, just a dried gourd that, you know, right off the tree. And that's all there is to it, really. Huh. And people play them in different styles. But, you know, you can get the whole range of sounds or feelings that you might get on a drum set with just that gourd if it's in the hands of a skilled player. And so I had first heard that. I'd heard the calabash on records by Ali Farka Touré and Boubacar Traoré, who's a big influence. Both of them are influenced me in some ways. And you know, you can hear it all over West Africa. I think Grant's particular gourd is from Burkina Faso, but I think of it as, I associate it with Malian music.
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of a really interesting instrument that you can get high notes and low notes in the same gourd, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. And the way, kind of like a steel drum, when you hit different parts of it, it makes different sounds, which almost, in my ears, are notes. So it's very cool.
Right. Yeah, I mean, any percussion sound has a note, right? I remember something that stuck with me. My first teacher in the blues was a man named Paul Rochelle, and he told me he was a drummer first. Huh. And he remembered telling me, you know, like, when you hit a cymbal, that's a note, that's got a pitch, you know. That always stayed with me.
So, Ryan, your last album came out in 2022, Winter Hill Blues. Mm-hmm. Have you been working on new stuff?
Yeah, I've, in the last few years, probably recorded enough music that I could almost put an album or an EP out every month for the rest of this year if I wanted to.
But really?
I don't actually know what I'm going to do next. Huh. I'm going to go down to Mississippi in a couple weeks to do some recording down there. And then probably after that I'll start to share something, because I feel like, you know, music is meant to be shared. But yeah, I've been working on a lot of different things. I think since, you know, in 2020, during the lockdown, I started kind of building up an analog recording setup, and that's kind of continued. And I've just been doing a lot of recording on reel-to-reel tape decks with old microphones here in my house for the last few years, kind of obsessively. So I'm hoping that
it's a cool thing, because you just, the more you do it, the better you get at it, and then you realize, like, I could do this as many times as I want to, which is a cool experience. And now when it comes to writing lyrics, do you tend to find yourself in the blues world, or do you just write lyrics that just come naturally and just put music to it and they turn into a blues song?
I mean, I guess I do a little bit of both. I mean, before I was working with any kind of intention to compose blues-inspired material, I mean, I have written songs in a lot of other genres first. I mean, most of those albums aren't really available online, but I made four or five albums before Winter Hill Blues, and they were, they kind of started in a singer-songwriter
direction
style.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then kind of evolved, I mean, as my finger-picking abilities evolved over time, and I got more interested in country blues.
Huh.
You know, I kind of, that evolved. But, I mean, I try to just write a little bit every day. Some of it makes its way into songs, some of it doesn't, some of it's in folders, you know, maybe for later use. But I think about, you know, I think about the kind of, what makes a moving blues lyric and what feels true. Mm. And one of the things my teacher, Jimmy Duck Holmes, down in Bentonia told me, you know, kind of by example, but something he says, you know, he's told me, I don't sing about anything that I didn't experience directly or somebody I knew did. And so for me, I think it's kind of an intuitive thing, but if I'm composing a blues song, you know, I just want it to be something that comes from my own life or something that feels true without trying to, I know that I don't want to try to just emulate blues lyrics. You know?
Well, do you feel that the music has to come from a place of pain, or can you write a happy blues song?
Well, I think there's I think of the blues as mostly happy music. Mm. I mean, something that I love about it is that it holds the whole spectrum of the human experience. Mm. And I think primarily, I mean, my impression of the blues is that certainly it's born out of suffering and hardship and oppression and difficulty, but it's a celebration of humanity and an expression of humanity. And so I think of it as music that primarily, even music that is kind of darker in tone, like the Bentonia style, for me, it just makes me feel good when I hear it. Mm. And whenever I've been down in Mississippi and either been fortunate to play with some musicians there or played, you know, like at the Blue Front Cafe, the juke joint in Bentonia that Jimmy owns, you know, the feeling is always celebratory. Hmm. And so I think it's music that's meant to make you feel good.
Yeah. And I guess it's true that you have to experience the blues to be able to sing about it and look back at those times and be like, yeah, well, now it's better times that we're all together, and I could tell you about this bad time that happened in the past, and we could all enjoy a good time while singing about an unfortunate event or maybe a happy event. But still, either way, it's expressive, and it really gets out what's inside someone's soul. And that is what is the most important part about blues music. It's a feeling, and it could be a happy feeling. It could be a, you know, contemplative feeling, and so many in between. And that's up to the listener, I guess, and also the author. So keep up the good work, Ryan. We look forward to some new music. You have a craft at writing songs and getting emotion into your music, and whether it's a drive-in blues tune or a contemplative kind of thoughtful song, you happen to find all the right notes to put in all the right places. So keep up the good work, Ryan.
Thanks so much, Rick. I really, I'm really, really glad to get to talk to you again, and looking forward to being at the Town Crier.
Yeah, Town Crier. Saturday night, yeah. 6 o'clock. The show is complimentary with dinner or have a beverage. But yeah, the price is right, and you can see a great artist in an intimate venue, the Town Crier in Beacon. Ryan, what's the best way folks can keep tabs on you, like find you online?
Oh, yeah, sure. These days, mostly I seem to use my Instagram page, which is at Ryan Lee Crosby, and my website, ryanleecrosby.com, and I'm on Facebook and YouTube, too. I try to update all that stuff as much as I'm able.
Cool. Well, we appreciate that, and we can check you out online and get ready for the great show coming up on Saturday night, 6 o'clock, complimentary with dinner, Ryan Lee Crosby at the Town Crier in Beacon. Knock 'em dead, Ryan, and we'll talk to you soon. Stay in touch, and we look forward to hearing your new music.
Thanks again, Rick, so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care.
Bye. This is the Up and Running Morning Show on 98.1 KZE. We'll be right back after this.
There's a new restaurant in the heart of New Paltz that you have to check out. The Lemon Squeeze on Main Street offers fine dining at a...